I'll say this as we begin tonight. This is only four verses. Half of this is the smallest chapter and only four verses in it. But there are no more fearful four verses in all the Bible than these four right here. You might contend that back in Luke, where the Bible talks about the rich man being in hell, lifting up his eyes, being in torment, that those are some pretty frightful verses. Mark says, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's some pretty fearful things. The book of Hebrews says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. I understand there's some fearful. But when we think of the power of verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, and what's happening here, there are no more fearful verses in all the Bible than those right there. The reason we're in church is to prepare ourselves against those verses. The reason Jesus died is to prepare you and I against those verses. And we're going to look at these things tonight and see the smoke of His glory. One of the keys of interpreting and rightly understanding the book of Revelation is knowing where the scene is taking place. Many of the scenes in Revelation take place on earth. Many of them take place in heaven. And getting the right location as we're reading through Revelation is key to rightly understanding the book. If I can just kind of review a minute, we remember that chapters 1, 2, and 3 all took place down here on earth. John on the Isle of Patmos, writing to the seven churches which are in Asia, that all was down here on earth. Chapters 4 and 5 took place in heaven. Chapter 4, he saw a door open and a voice said, come up hither. He saw the sea of glass, the four beasts, the 24 elders, all the praise that's going on. In chapter 5, one stood with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea up in heaven, and that was the Lamb, the Son of God, with the seven sealed book in his hand. That all took place in heaven in chapter 4 and 5. Then in chapter 6, it came down to the earth again. So you see chapters 1 to 3 on earth, chapters 4 and 5 in heaven, chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9, I believe it is. Let me look at my notes. Chapter 6 all the way through chapter 11. All back here, down here on earth. Everything that takes place in those chapters is back on earth. Then chapter 12 was back up in heaven. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. We read about that. Then chapter 13, back down to the earth. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast. Then chapter 14 and 15, back up in heaven. Verse 14, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood upon Mount Zion. Verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters. Then chapter 15, and I saw another sign in heaven. You might not understand the importance of what I'm saying, but as I have read and studied and listened to other teachers in the book of Revelation, one of the reasons they get off in the teaching the book is because they're not properly locating where the scene's taking place. We have to remember what's taking place on heaven, what's taking place on earth, and rightly divide the Word of God in such a way. When we get to chapter 15, we're continuing from chapter 14 of a scene that takes place in heaven. So recognizing the right place, it says in verse 5 of chapter 15, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. So we understand the scene is in heaven. Let's look at this scene in verse 5 to 8. I want you to see, first of all, in verse 5 to 7, what comes out of the temple? What comes out of the temple that is in heaven? The temple of the tabernacle of testimony. What comes out of it? And that is going to introduce to us, as I said, the worst of all things that have ever happened. Verse 5 down to verse 8. Verse number 5 says this, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Notice that phrase, if you would, the tabernacle of the testimony. What in the world is that? What is the tabernacle of the testimony? Well, turn back with me, if you would, to Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 38. Let's identify exactly what this is so we can get an idea. I hope I can adequately communicate this tonight, because the truth that's here is just amazing is not the right word. Terrifying might be the right word. But Exodus chapter 38, look if you would at verse 21. We're talking about this tabernacle of the testimony in heaven. What is that? Exodus chapter 38 and verse number 21. Exodus chapter 38 and verse 21. This is the sum of the tabernacle. Even of the tabernacle of testimony. There's the exact words right there. The tabernacle of testimony. Look over at Numbers chapter 1. We're going to see the same phrase used over there. Numbers chapter 1, to identify what we're looking at over here in Revelation. Numbers chapter 1 and verse number 50. Numbers chapter 1 verse 50, "But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony." And down in verse 53, "But the Levites shall pitch round about the tabernacle of testimony." All right, with the references in the Old Testament now coming back to Revelation, we know what the tabernacle of testimony is. It is that tabernacle that the Jews were given back in Exodus that they built, tore down, rebuilt every time they moved. We don't have time to go into all the details of the tabernacle. It's an extensive study on it itself. But you remember that they had the outside blankets, the outside of the tabernacle made out of those skins and everything that they hung up on the big outside. Then inside they had the laver, they had the altar, they had the Holy of Holies, which was at the center of it and was where God met with them and dwelt with them. And they'd go into that tabernacle inside of there, and there they would meet with God. Well, the Bible is telling us in Revelation chapter 15 that there is a tabernacle of the testimony in heaven. In other words, what they made in Exodus back in the Old Testament was a replica of what already exists in heaven. You know, the Lord taught His disciples to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In heaven, there is a reflection, or earth is to be a reflection of everything that goes on in heaven. God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden and wanted earth to be a reflection of heaven. But man, by his sinful desires and sinful nature, has darkened the picture down here. We have ruined the image of up there from down here. So God one day is going to have to purge this whole thing, and then He's going to open the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven. Well, what does that mean to you and I, the testimony of the tabernacle? It means simply this, that place that God had the Jews built where He could meet with them, when they went into not just the tabernacle, it was big, and it was a big enclosure, and they went in, and they met the priests there, and they brought their sacrifices, and they met them at the altar, and the laver, and they put the blood on that, and then they would be in there, and then they could go into that little testimony, place of testimony, and they go in there where the showbread was, and the candlestick, and then back behind the curtain. Remember the curtain that was torn when Jesus was crucified? That separated the front of the Holy of Holies from the back where the Ark of the Covenant was. Where the Ten Commandments and Aaron's rod that budded were down inside the Ark of the Covenant. And that was where they sprinkled the blood. One priest would go in there and sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice to get forgiveness for all of Israel. And that's where God would meet with them. And the smoke of His glory would fill that tabernacle as they met with God. That was the very inner circle of God's presence inside the tabernacle, inside that place, the Holy of Holies. We're going to see that in these four verses in Revelation, to see that the scene in heaven has moved not just from the throne of God, not just to the generality of heaven, and not just to the temple, but it's moved into the very dwelling place of God as God's judgment begins to issue out and pour out from it. The seven seals came down from heaven. That was fearful. The seven trumpets are sounded from heaven. That was fearful. But the next judgment, these seven last plagues that come, aren't just coming from heaven and aren't just coming from the throne. They're coming from the very dwelling place of God. From the very inner sanctum of God's dwelling, these next seven judgments are coming out in chapter 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. And there's nothing like it that we've seen up until this point. Again, we need to look at the first words in verse 5. "And after that I looked." We are again looking at a continuation of a story. We're looking at what happens after the things happen in chapter 13, 14, now chapter 15. You'll remember back when we started chapter 4 that we said there are different ways to interpret the book of Revelation. One of those words was the preterist interpretation. And that is that everything in the book of Revelation is past tense. It's already happened. Those that hold that position believe that John wrote Revelation in 65 AD. Now, we believe he wrote it in 95 AD. But they moved the date back to 65 AD so that all of Revelation can fit into 70 AD and the destruction of Jerusalem. And they take all the verses in Revelation and make them apply somehow to Nero burning down, Nero destroying Jerusalem in 70 AD and burning it to the ground and destroying it. The problem with that is when we rightly understand verse 5, 6, 7, and 8 and what is about to happen, we are limiting God. We are underestimating His power when we think what these four verses talk about happened in 70 AD. Because Jerusalem got rebuilt. Jerusalem is there now. But when this happens in these four verses, there's no rebuilding of anything. There's no second chance for anything. And so we understand that all these verses, when it says, and after that, I think 25 times in the book of Revelation, and after this, or and after that I saw, it's giving us a continuation of things that are going to happen in the future. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. That very place, the inner sanctum of God in heaven, in Revelation chapter 15, is going to be open, and something's going to come out. We've seen other things opened already in heaven. In chapter 4 and verse 1, we saw heaven open and something went up. Here in chapter 15 and verse 5, heaven is open and someone comes out, and it's the seven angels. And in their hands, the seven plagues. And the angels give to them seven vials. And they pour it out upon the earth. When heaven opens, you'd much rather be one going up than experiencing what comes out. You want to go up in Revelation 4:1 and not worry about what comes down in Revelation 15 and verse number 8. Because those that are here for what comes down in Revelation 15 have no idea what they're in for. The temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. In chapter 4, heaven was opened. In chapter 11 and verse 19, the temple in heaven was opened. But now in chapter 15, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Can you see how we're getting closer and closer to God Himself? We're looking at the picture in chapter 4 and 5 of heaven in general. In chapter 11, we got a picture of the temple that's in heaven. And now in chapter 15, inside the temple, the very dwelling place, the throne room of God. And what comes out of that throne room is what we're going to read about in the following chapters. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Verse number 6. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues. Seven angels out of that very dwelling place of God. Look back at Hebrews chapter 9, if you would, for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. Again, talking about that Old Testament tabernacle. But it says He's entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. In the presence, you know where the presence of God is in heaven? It's in the tabernacle in the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony. Just like in that tabernacle down on earth where God met in the Holy of Holies and only the high priest could go in there. This is the dwelling place of God. And these seven angels now are coming out. Their appearance from the dwelling place of God. It says, having the seven plagues. Look back at verse number 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. Again, this confirms our interpretation of Revelation that the seals and the trumpets and the vials are not all the retelling of the same story, but three separate judgments. Seven seals, then seven trumpets, and now the seven last plagues. It wouldn't say the seven last one if all seven of them were the same thing. So we're reading about three consecutive judgments of God, and this one that's about to come, worse than the previous 14 all put together, because it's coming from the very dwelling place of God. The seven angels came out of the temples having the seven plagues. Notice, before they get the vials, notice this, they have the seven plagues. The angels are holding the seven plagues and ready to cast them to earth. The Bible says that the angels were clothed in pure and white linen. Their apparel indicates their holiness. They're clothed in white linen. And having the breastplates girded with golden girdles. That means they're on official business. All right? Their white garments indicate their holiness, and the girdle with the golden girdles indicates that they're on official business from the throne room of God. They have been sent out from the very dwelling place of God to come out of that place down into heaven and down to earth with the seven plagues, the seven last plagues. Notice it says in verse number 7, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials. All right, again, they've got the plagues already. And now as they're coming out of that dwelling place of God, as they are exiting that place, the seven angels are standing there. It says in verse number 7, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials. I remember my days back in the military. And I remember going out to the barracks to go to the rifle range. And the armorer would be standing at the doorway, and you'd line up, and one at a time you'd go up, and he would hand you your M16, hand you your rifle, hand you your ammunition, and from there you would go out to the range. I see that picture when I see this beast. We don't know which one of the four from back in chapter 4 it is. Remember, one had the face of a man, the lion, the eagle, the calf. But one of these four beasts is standing there, and as the seven angels come out of the very dwelling place of God with these seven plagues, each one of them carrying one of the plagues, one of the angels hands them a golden vial. A golden vial. Oh, this is good. What is the golden vial? They've already got the plagues. They don't need a vial. They've already got the plagues. They're ready to cast them down. A plague is bad enough in and of its own. Why put it into a golden vial? Where have we seen the golden vial before? Look back at chapter 5. Look back at chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse number 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, notice this, and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Golden vials full of the prayers of the saints. What were the prayers of the saints? The prayers of the saints was, how long, O Lord, dost thou not avenge our blood upon them that dwell on the earth? The prayers of the tribulation saints were kept in vials. And now as those angels come out of the very dwelling place of God, as they come out with the plagues, one of the four beasts is saying, hold on, fellas. Take those seven plagues and put it in this vial. And they take those plagues and they pour them into the vial. Did you ever spend any time in biology in the chemistry lab? Mixing chemicals together in a vial. I like the wording of the King James Bible. You know, all the other Bibles change the vials to bowls. And you'll always hear preachers when they're teaching Revelation, if they're not using a King James Bible, and sometimes even when they are and they get misled, they'll say the seven bowls of judgment. They're not bowls, they're vials. And here you've got a vial full of the prayers of the saints, prayers for vengeance, and one of the beasts stops them as they're exiting the temple of God and says, now, I want you to take those plagues and I want you to pour it in the vial with the prayers of the saints, and what kind of a mixture is it going to be? You ever seen some of those, maybe you didn't do it, but you saw some of those pictures of people in a chemistry room that would mix a couple things in the vial and it would just begin to foam and spill over the top, and you didn't want to touch it, you didn't want to come near it, because what was in that thing was deadly. Well, here you've got the seven last plagues mingled together, poured into the vials of the prayers of the saints that's getting ready to get poured out upon the earth. It's going to be worse than the seven seals and worse than the seven trumpets all put together, as this judgment comes from the very dwelling place of God. Not just from heaven, not just from the throne, though that's powerful enough, but now coming out of the very presence of God. It said in verse 7, "And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God." When you mix those plagues with the prayers of the saints and put them together in that little vial, that test tube, you know what you've got? You've got the fullness of the wrath of God. Full of the wrath of God. Look at chapter 16 and verse number 9 as the vials get poured out. Chapter 16 and verse 9. Is that the verse I want? Can't read my own writing here. "And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory." When these plagues are poured out one at a time from these seven vials, before we read about the seven vials, and Isaiah and I were talking on the way here to church tonight, when we get to the vials, it's one after the other. They happen so quickly in chapter 16, one after the other. And as we look at the vials, we need to realize before they're poured out how devastating each one of those is going to be. The fullness of the wrath of God with the plague mingled with the prayer of the saints, as God is finally fulfilling His promise and cleansing this world and getting rid of all wickedness. It's full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. He gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, and they're going to be poured out upon the earth. Each of those vials, filled to the brim, and probably with that cup running over, one at a time, poured out upon this earth in the second half of the tribulation period. That's the judgment of God to come in those second 3.5 years. Notice verse 8. We saw what comes out of the temple. Now verse 8, what is in the temple? Verse 5, 6, and 7, what comes out of the temple? The seven angels with the seven last plagues. And then as they come out, the one of the beasts standing there handing them the seven vials full of the prayers of the saints. And as they're mixed together into a mixture, they're full of the fullness of the wrath of God. But back in the temple in verse 8, "And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power." If you could look past the seven angels coming out and the beast standing there handing them, if you look past in there, you would see that dwelling place of God at this point is filled with smoke and filled with power. While those seven vials are being poured out, you can't even go into the presence of God. You can't go into the temple. You can't draw nigh to Him for that period of time because His anger is about to be poured out to such an extent it would destroy anything that came in front of it. It's going to be filled with the glory of God and from His power. Look at a couple verses, if you would, in the Old Testament. Look at Exodus chapter 19. Filled with the glory of God. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, this is the chapter before Moses gets the Ten Commandments on the top of the mountain. And in Exodus chapter 19, look at verse number 18. Exodus 19:18, "And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly." Here's God coming down to the top of Mount Sinai to meet with Moses. Now when He meets with Moses, it's in a little burning bush. It doesn't look real fearful to Moses, it's just a little contained thing. But from those that are standing afar and looking at it, they see the top of that mountain as if it's on fire. Now someone would say, well, that's just a natural thing. That's just nature. That's just a volcano. No, according to that chapter, that was the presence of God on top of that mountain. And it was filled with smoke. And the fire went up from it. That is what is in the very dwelling place of God in Revelation 15. You and I aren't going to have to see God that way. We're not going to go into His temple that way. But at this time in history, at this time in the future, that's all God is going to be about, is He's going to be a God of vengeance. People want to talk about a God of love, and I'm thankful He's a God of love, and He is a God of love. He's a God of mercy and a God of justice. But one of these days, He's going to be a pure God of judgment upon sin in the earth. And you don't want to meet Him that way. When those seven angels come out with the plagues, mixed with the prayers of the saints in the vials, and begin, get ready to pour it out on earth, as that's happening, the temple itself is full of smoke as the wrath of God is being poured out on the world. And from, it says, and from His power. Look at Psalm chapter 8, Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, David is writing in verse 7. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because He was wroth. And there went up a smoke out of His nostrils, and fire out of His mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. When David wrote that, he was writing about something in his day and in his time, but what David didn't know is he was also describing the events of Revelation chapter 15. He was describing what was going to happen when God finally said, I've had enough. When after the seven seals and the seven trumpets and men still did not repent, the sinner's answer was still that they hardened their hearts and would not believe. Then God, as He gets ready to pour out His final judgments, the seven last plagues, the temple is full of His glory and from His power. And the end of verse 8 says, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Can you imagine this? The presence of God is closed off while the seven angels pour out their vials. The presence of God is closed off while the seven angels pour out their vials. There have been some pretty dark times in history. During the time of Noah's flood, God opened up the windows of heaven. God opened up the depths of the earth. God flooded out man, but it was never without the presence of God. When Jesus died on Calvary and took our sins upon His own body, He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And there was darkness over the face of the earth for 3 hours as Jesus hung on the cross bearing our sins. But though Jesus was being forsaken by God the Father while He bore sins, God still had not closed off access to anybody else that wanted to get there. But now for the first time, the last time, the only time ever, while the seven vials are getting poured out, God closes the door of access to Himself as His wrath is finally fulfilled and poured out. When we get to chapter 16, 17, and 18, and into chapter 19 before we get to verse 10 and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, these chapters are all about God saying, I've had it up to here. I've had enough. I've given you grace and mercy. I've given you half judgment. I've given you one-third judgments. One-third of the trees, one-third of the sea, one-third of the water. I've given you all that, and still you've not repented. Now, I gave you the 144,000 witnesses down there for 3.5 years. I gave you Moses and Elijah, the two prophets. You killed them. The 144,000 prophets have now been called to heaven. Now they're simply an angel flying through heaven, preaching the everlasting gospel. No gospel witnesses anymore on the earth, because God is going to pour out His wrath and His fury when the seven vials. A vial's not very big. That's why they want to say seven bowls. They want to make it, it doesn't have to be big when it's God. One little test tube of these ingredients poured out upon the earth, and there's going to be screaming and hollering and yelling and agony. And you know the sad part of it is, after they get away from that and death finally comes, it's an eternity in the lake of fire. You know, it's hard for you and I to imagine, isn't it? When you really stop and think about it, would God really allow all that to happen? He gave His Son, His only begotten Son, the Son of His body, the Son He gave Himself on Calvary's cross to die for the sins of mankind. And men reject Him, and men curse Him, and men mock Him. And after the church is taken out, and God begins to try to reason with them by showing them the things that are going on, they continually harden their hearts against Him. As wicked as the world is right now, wait till the church is taken out. Wait till there's no more great working of the Holy Spirit as there is right now. Wait till those days and see what happens then. And then God's wrath and the seven vials, we'll get into that next week starting in chapter 16, the seven vials to be poured out. Let's bow our heads together in prayer.